Stepped outside after a 9-hour journey from our home in Boston.
You know that movie, The Jungle Book? That's what it looked like. Costa Rica. As our bus climbed up the mountains, the dense tropical forest bordering the winding road became a valley of vegetation shrouded in fog.
We were in Costa Rica to try to understand biodiversity in its richest context. To try to figure out what conservation actually looks like in a country with so much to protect. Why do they do it? How do they do it? As we spent time researching with Dr. Lee Dyer, an ecologist who specializes in caterpillars, we realized biodiversity isn't as simple as the number of individual species in a forest. It's about the intricate relationships among them, starting with something as seemingly trivial as caterpillars.
So who didn't find a caterpillar? It's not because you're bad caterpillar finders, it's because it's hard to find caterpillars out there. My very first day in a rainforest, I found this caterpillar that was everywhere, and I asked the head naturalist, what is this? And he's like, oh, nobody knows what that is. And I was appalled. I was like, nobody knows what this is? And right then I thought, well, in my free time, I'm going to rear out caterpillars and figure out what they all are. I have always been interested in biodiversity, whether it's the ecology of diversity or the evolution of diversity, of how we measure it. Genetic diversity and functional diversity are two other categories of diversity. Interaction diversity encompasses all those dimensions. When we're making statements such as ecosystem services are provided by high diversity ecosystems, we're really talking about interactions because we're talking about pollinators, pollinating our agricultural crops. I think that most people do not have a good understanding of diversity, of how it evolved, of how complicated it really is.
The people were warm and welcoming. They talked to you and let you into their home. It was like being home. It simply felt right. There was this feeling of openness, the feeling I imagine they have for La Montaña, the rainforest, for Costa Rica.
I have feeders at home for toucans and other birds. So I give them papaya and bananas every morning. So I see them near dining room while I have breakfast. If I don't feed them once, they get into the kitchen searching for food.
I don't imagine myself being an armchair in my backyard watching the light passing through. No, I will be with my binoculars to watch.
We weren't the only ones who wanted to explore Costa Rica's natural beauty and resources. Staying with us at the Tirimbina Biological Reserve in Sarapiquí, Costa Rica, were tourists from all over the world, taking part in one of Costa Rica's most well-known conservation efforts, ecotourism.
We're going to see the volcano. We'll hike and
It's probably going to be a lot wetter.
Oh, lots of different animals.
And hotter.
Coatis.
I think it's just being one with nature. And
lots of tree frogs.
And less like tourism, so more of the eco and less of the tourism.
I can't even remember all the different. Oh, I saw a tarantula one time. Toucans.
I think it's also going to have a lot more fauna.
Three or four different kinds of monkeys.
Are we there yet?
Luna de todas las noches, ilumíname esta noche. Dime si ella es la reina y la dueña.
Ecotourism, noun. Definition: tourism in exotic, often threatened natural environments to support conservation efforts and observe wildlife.
Ecotourism seemed like a great way to protect the rainforest that surrounded us. It provided the people living near the forest with a financial motivation to preserve and appreciate its diversity.
We saw the people around us benefiting, like an indigenous artist and his French fiancé who made and sold pottery.
It's a little difficult to work as an artisan if you're not working with tourists.
It's hard because I could survive, but it would be day by day. What I earn today would be spent today.
He's been at this hotel for 7 years. They gave him the opportunity to show the tourists how the Cholatagan culture works and where they come from.
A shopkeeper in town.
Tourism helps a lot in conservation of trees. Tourists like you come here and help us and the planet.
An employee of Tarambina Biological Reserve.
For Costa Rica, it's good because as a country we can exploit ecotourism. We can teach people that one can work, but at the same time, one can demonstrate what the country has without harming the environment. That's something that Costa Rica can teach the rest of the world.
And Alex Martinez, the owner of an eco-hotel called Andrea Cristina. He compared jobs in ecotourism with those at banana plantations. And Carlos Chavarria, the director of the Tarambina Biological Reserve, told us more about the industry as a whole.
In the case of the computer companies, the money, it is made by the companies. But in the case of the ecotourism, because how the money is distributed to different levels, more people is involved. We said that for one job in tourism, there is at least four people that get benefit from that position.
At Tarambina, we got a chance to talk to Willie, who works as a guide and educator for ecotourists. Wait, what? Someone so involved in ecotourism had reservations about it?
It turns out, the more people we talked to, the more we realized how complicated ecotourism as a method of conservation actually is.
Anywhere where there is human activities, there will be an impact.
So that's a lot to think about. all of the complexities of implementing ecotourism have not been ironed out. But despite these differences in opinion, ecotourism exists to motivate the conservation of nature. And no matter who we spoke to in Sarapiki, that relationship that people have with nature was really apparent.
But that relationship has changed throughout the years. Beto, an assistant researcher at La Selva Biological Station, remembers a time when most people didn't realize that nature was disappearing.
Por ejemplo, cuando yo era chico,
for example, when I was younger,
yo andaba mucho por el país,
I would travel throughout the country.
Y hay lugares donde ahorita uno va y los ríos y quebradas que habían ya no existen.
And see rivers and waterfalls that no longer exist.
Sí, entonces mucha gente se está dando cuenta.
It's things like that which people are starting to notice.
Like many of our tour guides, Miner was one who actually experienced this change in awareness himself. With changes like these came a shift in formal education. Willie, for example, reflected on what he was taught as a child. But in an elementary school in town, the principal said that things were different now.
Solamente trabajamos lo que es reciclaje.
We only work with recycling. Then later in middle school, we work more directly with the land. This includes planting trees and everything related with nature. In my opinion, it's very good because they are learning from the very beginning to better conserve the land, to be more productive rather than to destroy the little that we have left.
The people in Costa Rica told us stories about standing up for their beliefs.
They had logged everything, everything. It was a mine without end. It's no secret. The mine was a total disaster. The judges decided to remove the license permanently.
But this was just one town in Costa Rica, which lies amidst rich biodiversity. Nature isn't necessarily viewed in the same way throughout the rest of the world. A lot of the population lives in cities, where people's relationship to nature often seems to be a bit different.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot.
Yeah, where is the nature in cities?
It's so strange how we've designated nature areas in the city.
Yeah, like last week I was in New York and my walk felt like this. Building, building, pavement, building, and then I finally arrived at a patch of artificial green. But that's only perfect if you want to sit in the park and drink Starbucks.
But think about it.
So you buy your coffee.
And that money that you just handed over
gets transferred from Starbucks
to the people who are growing it.
But in the 50s,
when the international demand for coffee grew,
most of the people living in the Central Valley because the coffee produced.
And as a result of the production of coffee and other goods, in 1977, Costa Rica had
less than 40% of our forest covered.
So if you and the rest of your city want more coffee, that means a bigger plantation, less forest, and less biodiversity.
And that's true of medicine, wood for our houses, minerals in our cereal, glass for our windows, cotton for our t-shirts, cell phones, helicopters, space shuttles, satellites, lampshades, bricks, cars, airplanes, TV, factories, glassware, and other goods from nature.
Just because it's not next to you, it doesn't mean you don't have a strong connection to it. It provides you with what you need to survive.
Sometimes, what is right was not so apparent.
The problem is us,
majority of the people.
You always want to enrich ourselves with
pinky rings and everything, big car, Cadillac. It's just glamorous.
But you can't eat gold. You can't breathe gold.
For example, if I want to drive the latest car, then I could simply sell a hectare of my land to someone, but that someone would come and build.
People with money look for the best places to cut down forests and make their house have a nice view.
And it's all about money.
But in Costa Rica, we saw that it wasn't just the goods that made the forest valuable to people.
People had a personal connection to the forest. And over time, as attitudes about nature changed, that connection changed too. Jose Mirandes, an organic dairy farmer at
Sayar Piquín,
and Misael, a local whose family used to own part of Tirimbina, both saw major changes in how people viewed the environment through the years.
My father came 60 years ago when there was only forest. Those times were hard. There were no roads or bridges to make a farm.
A trabajar, a hacer una finca.
Part of Tirimbina is in what used to be mine, in what used to be ours.
My father came to clear the forest to make his farm. This was ideal 60 years ago.
It used to be a stable. We had a stable because we had livestock. We had cattle here. This was all a stable. It was a stable and nothing more.
Now we're doing the opposite. We're leaving some areas for repopulation of the forest so we have less stables. We want to live in harmony with nature.
They started planting trees and all of that. With time, it turned back into a forest. That's how it is now.
Conserving nature is really a complex issue.
Different people see it in different ways.
And yet everyone has a connection to nature.
As you see, the biodiversity in those rainforests is pretty rich. And in Spanish, we say la gallina de los huevos de oro. It's a phrase in Costa Rica. It's like we take care of it. We take care of the country.
This piece was produced by the students of Terrascope Radio.
Terrascope is a freshman learning community at MIT and part of MIT's Office of Experiential Learning.
The sound used in this piece was gathered in Boston, New York City, and Costa Rica.
We want to thank everyone who voiced translations for this piece.
A special thanks to Professor Sam Bowering, Terrascope Director, and our teaching assistant for the Fall Terrascope class, Seth Burgess.
A big thanks to Deborah Axel for everything she does for Terrascope and its students, and to Kurt Sternloth for spending countless hours making our trip to Costa Rica as wonderful as it was.
We would also like to thank Earthwatch, especially Kim Casello and Nicole Cirillo, for organizing the trip to Costa Rica. The trip was funded in part by the Baruch Foundation.
Finally, we would like to give endless thanks to our instructor Ari Epstein and our undergraduate teaching fellows, Alexander Kiesling and David Wise.
You can find this piece and more from Terrascope Radio at the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org.
Que no envidia.